Sometimes we will do a lot if we're being patted on the back. But when we're running to win, we're not running for pats on the back. We run to give praise and glory to Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant says, "Salvation is not a prize for which we work. It is a gift that we receive freely by God's grace. But after we're saved, we each have a race to run." And that is the topic of Pastor Grant's message we will hear this evening. We invite you to keep your Bibles handy because at GCA, we believe God's message always comes from God's Word. So here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Running to Win.
A man needed a job and visited a zoo to see if they had any openings. Well, the zookeeper quietly told him he had to be quiet with this one. The zookeeper told him, "We have one job." Actually, it's not really a job but what happened is our gorilla died last night, and I have a group of children coming this afternoon, and if there is no gorilla, the children are going to be very disappointed. Now, if you would be willing to put on a gorilla suit and pretend you're a gorilla, I will pay you $40 an hour. Well, the man thought about the job, and he thought about the $40, he thought about the children, he didn't want to disappoint the children, but he certainly would look forward to getting the $40 an hour. He said, "I'll take the job." Well, the zookeeper said, "Well, the children will be here pretty soon." Well, he had about half an hour, and he went into the gorilla cage, and he started swinging on the tire, getting his practicing in, and in half an hour, the children arrived, and so, of course, they headed for the gorilla cage. The man saw them coming, and, you know, of course, he's swinging on his tire. And as they got closer, he thought to himself, "I'm going to give them the show of a lifetime." Well, the kids were all at the cage, and the man, he started swinging on the tire. He swung so high that, guess what happened? He flew out of the gorilla cage, and he landed in the lion's cage. Of course, the lion started approaching. The man was scared, but of course he can't shout because he's a gorilla, can't give away his cover. So he started rattling the cage. He's rattling the cage to get the attention of the zookeeper. And of course, the children are just excited. They are full. Can you imagine if you were there? The lion kept coming. He's rattling the cage, and nothing is happening. The lion approaches him, and he's sure he is a dead dog, a dead gorilla. All of a sudden, the lion stopped, and the lion said, "You better be quiet, or we'll both lose our jobs." They weren't what they appeared to be. Both the lion and the gorilla were fake. I wonder if all the animals were fakes. But that's not the point I'm trying to make this morning. Despite their appearance, they were not what they appeared to be. And the reality is that sometimes in the Christian life, we appear to be on fire for God, but in reality, we are not. And so this morning, I want to share with you a message which we are entitling Running to Win. For God wants every Christian to get on fire so we can truly be winners. Amen? Amen? And so I want us to read first, to read just a few of the verses that were just read for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, we're going to take the passage slowly. Verse 24 reads as follows. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. No, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Have you ever watched a relay in which the winning team was disqualified? They won, but they were later disqualified, either because of a lane infraction or because of a doping violation. You ever watch one of those? You know, we were so excited when Jamaica won the 4x100 relay at the 208 Beijing Olympics. Some of you remember that, what happened. Jamaica won in spectacular fashion. And then shortly after, our excitement was short-lived because it was soon discovered that one of the team members was charged with a doping violation. It was disheartening for us as fans. But I wonder how disheartening it must have been for the guys who were actually running. People like Usain Bolt, who lost his gold medal because this guy had a doping violation. You know, it must be very hard on the judges. Those judges must have hated to announce that one of the big favorites of the meet, Usain Bolt, they must have hated to announce that he was disqualified. But do you know that every day God has the sad task of disqualifying Christians who are not running well? Oh, I hope you're listening this morning. Every day, God has the sad task of disqualifying Christians who are not running well. Look with me at verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, I had better discipline my body, lest when I have finished preaching all around the world, I myself should become disqualified. Don't believe that just because you're a Christian, God will not disqualify you or me. So what's up? You say, Pastor, how could a Christian be disqualified? Don't we all have eternal security? And that's true. For once we are saved, we are eternally saved. Amen? But this is not about salvation. For salvation is not a prize we run to win. Amen? Salvation is received by the grace of God once we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Praise God, done is the work that saves. And once we put our faith in the finished work that the Lord Jesus did for us on Calvary, we are eternally saved and we cannot lose our salvation. Amen? But this is not about salvation. For salvation is not a prize that we run to win. This is about winning a prize for our faithful service to God. You know, sometimes we will do a lot if we get accolades. Oh, listen to me now. Sometimes we will do a lot if we're being patted on the back. But when we're running to win, we're not running for pats on the back. We run to give praise and glory to Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about winning a prize for our faithful service to our Savior. So write this down in your notes. We are not running for salvation, amen, but to receive God's reward for our faithful service. We're not running for salvation, but to receive God's reward for our faithful service. So you may ask, Pastor, what happens if we are disqualified from the race? Put this down. We will not lose our eternal life. But get this, we will lose our opportunity to effectively serve God while on earth. God will what? God will put us on the shelf. Do you know it's possible to be in a condition and a position where God has put us on the shelf? And I don't believe any of us would like God to put us on the shelf. Am I right about that? So today I'd like to leave with you three essentials if we really want to run to win. Amen? Do you want to run to win? Put this down. Here's point number one. We must practice self-discipline. If we're going to run to win, we must practice self-discipline. Verse 25, it tells us, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. The ESV version puts it this way, every athlete exercises self-discipline or self-control in all things. You know, the people in Corinth were big on athletics. It's interesting that as the Spirit of God causes Paul to write, he writes to the Corinthian church and he uses sports metaphors, he uses athletic metaphors, because the people in Corinth were big into athletics, for they hosted the Isthmian Games, the second largest sporting event in the world at that time. This was a big track town. The Isthmian Games were held outside Corinth every 3 years. And these people all knew that no runner could be successful without self-discipline. Listen how far they went. They know a runner could not be successful without self-discipline. And as a result, every athlete in the games had to take an oath stating they had disciplined their bodies. Are you getting me? Every athlete had to take an oath that they had been practicing self-discipline and they had not eaten certain foods and that they had been training for at least 10 months. They had to take an oath to say, we have been disciplining ourselves. And so God is asking us this morning, are we practicing self-discipline? You cannot succeed in the Christian race unless you're practicing self-discipline and you're saying no to the things of the world, the sinful pleasures of the world. You are saying no to the world and you're saying yes to Jesus. God is warning us that unless we exercise self-discipline in our Christian life, we run the risk of being disqualified from the race and put on the shelf. My friends, we cannot hang on to the things of the world and wholeheartedly pursue Christ at the same time. You know, the devil wants to fool us to believe that. Oh, we can have the world and give me Jesus. Leave me with the world, but give me Jesus. No. What does the song say? Take the world, but give me Jesus. Young man, young lady, older person, have you been practicing self-discipline or are you being dragged by your friends into all sorts of sinful practices and habits? It's amazing these athletes were willing to practice self-discipline, although the price was so perishable. The apostle said the price is a very perishable price. Do you know what their prize was? It wasn't a gold medal. It was a garland of flowers. That's all they got. They were practicing all the self-discipline, only to get the applause of the men and women in the stands and some flowers that by the next week would have been gone. Oh, I'm so glad. Aren't you glad God has far more for those of us running the race than a bouquet of flowers? Amen? Thank God there's not only, the passage tells us here that there is an, what type of crown? Did you see? What does your Bible say? There is what? An imperishable crown. They were running for a perishable crown. The apostle is saying, we have in front of us an imperishable crown from God. But thank God there's even more, because we will also get the applause of heaven. You know, as children, we loved when our parents and our teachers at school said, well done. Didn't you? Sadly, some kids never ever heard well done. Our brother yesterday shared how important it is, particularly for fathers. Dad, when last you told your child well done? It is so important that we fathers share and encourage our children, particularly the boys, with the well done. Amen. We love when our parents and teachers said well done. And as, when we got to adults, we were glad when the boss, were you glad when your boss told you well done? Particularly if it also had a bonus check with it. Am I right about that? But none of those will compare with hearing our blessed Savior say, well done. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Do you want to hear well done? Are you practicing self-discipline? Are you running to win? Sadly, many Christians are not running to win. They're so focused on enjoying sinful pleasures, they put little emphasis on self-discipline. You know, sometimes you see a mom with a little baby, and mom is begging the child, please. It's almost like mom is saying, pretty, please behave. Pretty, please, please. You ever seen it? Oh, please, baby. God is not begging you. I want to make that clear. God is not begging us to behave. The message today is not designed to beg. Today, God is giving warning that if we don't start practicing self-discipline, we are at risk of being disqualified and experiencing His discipline. And I believe this is a very serious message. And if you're tempted to fall asleep, take your finger and hold up your eyelid. Because God is serving notice. He is serving notice that if we don't watch out. And you know, so in serving notice, he takes us immediately, takes us back to what happened in the wilderness. Chapter 9 and chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians is to be linked. Sometimes we stop at chapter 9 and begin at chapter 10. It's one story. Remember, the Bible doesn't have... When it was written, Paul did not write chapters. We inserted them so the preacher can say chapter 10 and we can all find the thing, all right? But otherwise, we'll have a hard time finding a way around. You understand what I'm saying? But it's one story. And so in 1 Corinthians 10, God reminds us that although he redeemed the Jews from slavery in Egypt, he later disciplined them when they refused to show self-discipline. So let's turn back to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read from verses 1 to 6. And I want you to observe how many times the word all is used. Look how many times the word all is used. Here's what he says. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all, say all our fathers were under the cloud. What? All passed through the sea. What? All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What? All ate the same spiritual food. And what? All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that was followed them, and that rock was Christ. So it was all had the blessing. But verse 5, what does it say? But what? With most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And the tragedy is, it's often so true in the Christian life that all of us have the blessings of God, but sometimes most of us refuse to practice self-discipline. So today God speaks and he shows us, he gives us the record of what happened. They all had been redeemed by God from slavery in Egypt. They were all witnesses to the dramatic crossing of the Red Sea. They all saw how God provided a pillar of cloud in the day. Just think of it. God provides a pillar of cloud in the day to protect them from the heat of the desert sun. And then he flips the switch. And in the night, what does he do? He provides what? A pillar of fire. Why? Dark in the desert. He provides them fire to keep them warm. Do you know the temperature drops dramatically in the desert at night? So he gives them the fire to keep them warm. He gives them light. What an amazing God. And they're here. Traveling through desert. What is one of the things that has you know right off about deserts? What is some? Tell me, shout something you know about a desert. It has little what? Water. There's hardly any water in a desert. So what does God do? What do they see God do? He strikes a rock one time. Now, in case you don't recognize the magnitude, do you have any idea how many people there were? Do you realize it was estimated that there were over 2 million people? And God provides water. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Aren't you glad he's your God? He strikes the rock. Gives Moses the authority to strike the rock. And Moses strikes the rock. And water gushed out to supply all the... So for all that time in the wilderness, God provides. They had a front seat view of God's awesome power. All had a front seat view. But the Bible says, despite that, most of them were so indisciplined that God said, with most of them, I was not well pleased. As a result, you know what happened? Most of them died in the wilderness. God must not be trifled with.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.